And we just lose sight of God, don't we? But have you been busier? Have you spent some time with our Lord and Saviour Jesus? So only you will know the answer to those questions. So I'm going to talk about prayer, because I was so fired up at the week of prayer, so I thought I'd just continue prayer, because it's something that started to feature quite big in my life, because I think I just wasn't very... I mean, Kerry was praying about it before, so you don't have to be good, you don't have to be bad, you just have to pray, don't you? And I don't think I was very good at praying, but I think I'm getting better, so that helps. But yeah, amen. So today I'm going to be talking about prayer, just to round up that wonderful half week of prayer that we had. So my title is, there we go, Prayer, Our Lifeline to God. Amen. So in Jeremiah 33, it says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. So this scripture emphasizes how God wants us to, he wants to hear our prayers, doesn't he? He wants a two-way communication with us, and he loves it when we pray. So people struggle in their life journeys. And I had imagine last night with a young girl who's got autism, and she's had a few problems. We had to take her to hospital. So that was so many things can happen that you don't expect. And they just shock you, don't they? But God is always there to help us, isn't it? So I had to pray for her last night. So people struggle with their life journeys, and when their lives become difficult, they have pain. And, you know, pain because of circumstance. Maybe it's friendships. Maybe they can't make friends. Maybe you haven't found a life partner yet. Or someone that just gets you, understands you, knows you inside out, and then you can get along with. People suffer from anxiety, don't they? And depression, and that's a lot now because of we're under attack constantly, aren't we? Just the world is attacking us, people trying to influence you, the devil trying to get into you, just telling you lies, trying to just take off our path from God, isn't it? Because when he knows that you love God, then that protects us, it bounces him off, doesn't it? So some people can't make friends, they haven't found their life partner yet, or maybe understands that love for them can be difficult if they suffer from depression and anxiety. They are scared of rejection, and they can't repair when they fall out with somebody or when somebody has decided they don't love them anymore. I find that really hard. But God will never reject us. God will never fall out with us. If we build that relationship with him, that love can't be broken. There's no doubt about that, is there? His love keeps us sustained, feeling whole and safe and strong and confident. For the people that we are, he builds us up as a person, doesn't he? And we are his children, and he loves us beyond compare. So, question, when did you come to Christ? So that's a question for you. We know Adrian's story, don't we? He's told us lots of times, and it's a wonderful story of how he came to Christ, and difficult times, and it just changed his whole life. Is there anybody else that would like to share their story of how they came to Christ? It has to be quick. You don't have to do anything. It's up to you. No? Right, so I'll talk about me then. Yuck. One thing I don't like doing, I don't actually like talking, so I'll have to talk about me again, won't I? So when I was younger, I mean, I told you a story about my mum, didn't I? I lost my dad very early, so I was quite lost. There was no real boundaries because my mum was lonely. She had just lost my dad. That was the love of her life. And she was just lost. So my mum and her grandparents brought me up. I had Reg and Kit. Absolutely amazing. They were amazing. And they brought me up and they did a great job. And they structured me. But I still felt lost because I didn't have that father figure. Although I did believe in God. My mum was very, very gentle, very, very quiet. A bit like me. I don't like talking either. And she was just pining for my dad for a long, long time. And she never replaced him. She's been on her own ever since. So, and she was just sad, really, really sad. But she's got such a strong faith in God, and she always has done. She belongs to a faith group. They had a become a church, and then something happened, and they all came out of church, and they all moved to Scotland. It's called the Faith of Sharon, Rose of Sharon. They send her scripture and that. Sometimes she'd go to Scotland to visit them, which is a really nice first. She actually wanted to move to somewhere up the coast. I can't remember where it was, but it was somewhere very desolate in Scotland. I wanted to live in a little bungalow on her own. And just remember, my mum is disabled, she's only got one leg. Now, we were worried that she was going to fall over and we couldn't get to her. So we managed to talk her out to that. And I think she was actually pleased. You know what I mean? So imagine that, being in Scotland, freezing cold. It's a nice place, very spiritual, but no. So she always had a faith, and she's not a big talker. So I had to sort of guide myself through my youth. And I don't know if I told you this bit, I came from Australia. I talked with an Australian accent. I had National Health glasses at the time, I had to keep stamping on to get rid of. And then another pair arrived. I thought, oh, dearie me. So in the end, I couldn't get away with it. But I had long hair down to here when I had hair. So imagine, so my nanny used to put a bowl on my head, and she used to cut whole steel marks. So I'd absolutely like that and down like that. So every school I went to got beaten up. I remember the first school I arrived when I arrived in England, I was six, got chucked off at the top of the climbing frame. So it was a struggle, and I had to find my own rules. And bless my mum, she was doing the best she could. And you sort of get yourself into trouble, don't you, basically? So I guided myself through my youth, and I desperately wanted friends. And I just did some very silly things to impress them so I could have friends, but they weren't really real friends. So they went a bit pear-shaped, really. But I did believe in God. Still always had God, because my mum had a faith, but then I did nothing to build that relationship. And this is what we're talking about, building that relationship with Him. I didn't really feel like I had a purpose in life either, but now I do, because now I'm building a really strong relationship with God, and it makes all the difference. Yeah. So He's revealed my purpose, and I'm building a stronger and stronger relationship through prayer. Because, like I said before, I used to wander around. I'd do a quick one. Oh, thank you, God, for that. Yeah, thank you very much. And just keep it. You mean so? But now it's sort of growing in me. It's sort of embedded, and I feel like a whole person because of it. And also, when you get to know the Lord, that is true joy, isn't it? Pure happiness. Pure happiness, of real joy, because you sort of spend your life sort of wandering around looking for things, hoping that's going to make you happy. It doesn't really make you happy, does it? Get a bit of money doesn't make you happy, for a little bit, does it anyway? I suppose something nice, but no, but that's not, when you get true relationships, people who love you and God loves you, that is love. Yeah, and yeah, so no. So, like I said, I'm not a fancy prayer. I'm trying. I'm trying. I am. That's what I mean. God knows our hearts. It doesn't actually matter, does it? But I know God knows in my intention. I do it. I'm getting better at it. I've actually made a little room in our house. And I put a candle there. I bought one of these fancy lighter things the other day. So I light that, and I get my little Bible out. I'm being very good. And that's, it just makes such a difference in your life, doesn't it? Really does. So, yeah, my intention is there, and God knows my heart, and it is really important. So praying is not a religious activity, is it? It's simply communicating. It doesn't have to be a religious activity. It's communicating and having that relationship with God. So, number two slide. Right, so there. Prayer is the heartbeat of our walk with God. As breathing keeps our body alive, praying keeps our soul alive, isn't it? That's what I'm talking about. It lights your soul up. It gives you a purpose. It just makes you feel amazing. Yeah. So let's keep feeding our spirit. Just feed our spirit every day. Let's read that word. Let's pray. And like Kerry said before, praying together makes all the difference. So I'll say I pray in my little, well, I've started praying in my little room, but I just pray as I walk along. I get up, I pray before I go to school. The kids annoying me, I start praying. I think, just behave yourself, mate. Amen. So that sort of thing. But when you pray together, it's so powerful. And this is what happened last week, isn't it? I mean, I've done one. I mean, I don't get, because of my schoolwork, I don't get to get there very often, but it was just so powerful. It really was powerful. So I'll say that again. Prayer is our heartbeat of the walk with God. As breathing keeps our body alive, praying keeps our souls alive. Amen. Yeah. So many of us know about prayer, but not many of us live a life of prayer. And it's a simple form, it will truly transform our lives. As Christian, prayer is optional, but it is essential, really, isn't it? Prayer is our communication with God. Prayer is simply talking to God and Him listening. So, slide number three. There we go. So, God desires fellowship with His children, and in James 4:8, it says, "Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you." We desperately need today to get past the belief that that God is content with a mediocre, sort of lukewarm relationship with us, and to gain a better understanding of that He wants to do in us and through us. And that's where the point where I'm getting to today. I suppose when I was younger, I was lukewarm. I believed, but didn't do anything about it. But when you start building that relationship, that makes all the difference, doesn't it? It really does. So, like I said before, praying is not fancy words. Just you can use simple words, and praying is about talking from your heart. Number four. Yeah. So who taught us to pray? Jesus. Jesus taught us to pray. The Lord's Prayer. His first prayer, wasn't it? Remind us that the prayer flows from a relationship and not from a ritual. So prayer invites God's power. Throughout the scriptures, prayer releases divine intervention. And Elijah prayed to God to send him fire from the heavens in the verse one in Kings 18. I remember when all the prophets were hiding in the caves, Elijah came. All those prophets were actually worshiping a different God. Then when they were at Baal, wasn't it? They were stamping and shouting, but nothing happened. So they stamped and shouted again. Nothing happened. Elijah came along, and the days where they used to sacrifice cows and things, he cut up the calf, put it on. He prayed to God, and God sent down the fire and lit that furnace. So, amen. And in the early church, the prison doors opened in Acts 12. Praying gives us power. Jesus prayed and taught persistence in prayer through the parables in Luke 18:1. There's five. I don't know, I've lost my way now. Yeah, I think we're all right. Let me do a check. All right. So Jesus was the Son of God. Yeah, it might be the one before. Let's have a look. Oh no.
There it is.
No, right. Yeah, Jesus was the Son of God, sinless and perfect in every way. Thank you, Adrian. But he still prayed and communicated with his Father, didn't he? In Luke 5:16. So when Jesus died on the cross, He accomplished far more than just buying us eternal life after we die. He said in Matthew 28 that all authority had been given to Him. He purchased back the authority that Adam and Eve had turned over to Satan in the Garden of Eden. He also said in John 15 that He was no longer calling us servants, but He was calling us friends. Jesus' desire to have close friendship with us, opportunity to have our sins washed away. and have the right standing before God, just as we'd never seen a barrier between God and Adam and Eve. Because when he first created them, didn't he was there with them all in the garden. But then they turned away. They sinned, and they isolated him, didn't they? So Jesus died and purchased our sin back. The ability to right stand and the relationship with God was restored. The sin barrier had been removed, and now free to pursue a greater and closer intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. Right, now it's six, isn't it? Yes, yes. Prayer is not just giving God instructions, demanding things. I want this, I want a nice car, I want loads of money in a house. It's trusting his timing, because his timing is completely different to us, isn't it? Sometimes we pray for something to make a change, and it can take years. You can be praying for years for something, because God's timing is different to ours, isn't it? And we're always so impatient, aren't we? We just want things now, especially in this sort of world, aren't we? So prayer changes us as people, and it really changes us inside. And I know it's really changed me. And I feel that I'm really talking to God and listening to him now, which has made a big difference in my life. I feel complete, fulfilled, and it gives me peace. And that's one thing I always say to people. I've got so much peace now in my life. It's just made a big difference because I've got him. You know, all this craziness going about, people killing each other, murdering each other, all the hatred is just disgusting, and it turns my stomach over. But I know I've got peace, because we can only do so much, and we can touch so many people, we can plant as many seeds as we can. There's such a big world out there, and it's horrible. I mean, the time's coming, isn't it? Until he comes back, it is coming. It's like the Old Testament. We're all beating the lives out of each other, stoning each other, and he's got to come back and save us, isn't it? It's like that, really. Right, so I'll give you a few examples. So Hannah prayed in bitterness of soul, and God gave her peace before she gave her a son in 1 Samuel 1. And through prayer, God aligns our hearts with his will. And he speaks to our hearts, and he softens our hearts. Prayer gives us clarity, peace, strength, and wisdom. So remember, don't stop praying because you're not seeing results, as I talked before. God is working in us. And as the song says, the way maker we sung, even when you don't see it, he's working. And when we pray, we acknowledge that we cannot do life on our own. So Proverbs 3, 5 to 6, that's number 7. Yeah, there we go. Right. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Prayer shifts our focus from our strength to God's power. Prayer does not only change our circumstances immediately, but it always changes us inside. Prayer invites God's power, doesn't it? Prayer must be persistent. Jesus taught us persistence in prayer through the parables in Luke 18, 1. And delayed answers are not denied answers. Remember, God works in his own time, doesn't he? And God honours faith, and he refuses to give up. If we don't give up, then he doesn't give up on us, does he? He's there with us all the time. He's walking our paths. He's already planned our journey. He knows what's going to happen, doesn't he? So as I said before, prayer is a lifeline to heaven. And this is how we get to know God. Trust him and walk with him. So a praying church is a powerful church. And this is what we are here at King Baptist Church, and we are a powerful church. We're powerful in prayer. We love each other. We love other people. We show that when they walk through the door, don't we? We welcome everybody. And yeah, you know, I remember when me and Lorna first came, we, I think we were about 2 years, and there's lots of faces that are still here. We were about 2 years, and our daughter got bipolar and she got very ill, so we had to leave. And then we lost our way a little bit, and then we wandered around. We spent about 2 years with Neil Whitmill at Fairfield, and then we went to a black church, because obviously Lorna wanted some more black people, but we've got a nice mix here. And they were preaching hatred up there. I think I've talked to people, hatred. And we're not here to judge people. This is not our purpose, is it? No, I mean, I worked, but there was Muslim people in there, was preaching hatred against them. We're not here to judge. And that just, no. So we came back in. It's like coming home. It was coming home. It was just, I remember Nikki from years and years ago, isn't it? When I first walked in, yeah. That seems such a long time ago. I mean, I think, was it 2-3 years now? But we're home. We're not going anywhere now. When Lorna gets over a pneumonia, there is. But sorry, Lorna. She'll be in there coughing away. But the thing when she laughs, she has like a spasm of coughing. she can't stop. So let's not be Christians that pray in emergencies, but believers that live in constant communion with God. So Philippians 1:5-7 says, pray without ceasing. All right, let's stop there. Right, so we've got lots of friends around with badges on. We could. Is there anybody that needs prayer now? We could have a short praying session if everybody needs prayer. But if you would like prayer, if you'd like to just sort of indicate, we've got people with badges we can pray with, we can put some music on. If not, I'm going to pray for our church. Should we have a little bit of music anyway, Steve? And there was a bit of time for reflection. Let's just close our eyes. Let's breathe in.
Prayer about a work situation, and so I was just waiting on the Lord. I just then felt it was about relationships. I couldn't put the two together, but then I thought, well, maybe it's somebody's having relationship problems with somebody at work that needs to be restored or healed or brought, you know, sorted out. So if that's you, then please let us know and we'll come and pray with you. But I felt that quite strongly.
Right, let's pray for the church. Father God, thank you for our church. Thank you for all the love that is shown here in this place. We pray that you have your hand over everything and every decision that we do here, and that you will bless and keep our wonderful family safe. Lord, we pray that you can move forward as a church and you will make mighty things happen in this congregation and in this building. We are asking for your divine guidance and strength as we embark on this journey of growth and discipleship. Lord, build us up into a strong and vibrant body of believers. May our foundations be rooted in your word and our actions guided by the Holy Spirit. We ask this in your name, yes. Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Right. Thank you, Doug.
Oh. you and a thousand generations, and your family, and your children, and the children of the children. May the presence go before you, and behind you, and beside you, all around you, and within you, and he is with you, he is with you, in the morning, and the evening, in the coming, and the going, in the weeping, and rejoicing, he is for you, 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 he is for you.
Hi guys, would you young gentlemen like to explain what we've been doing this morning? Maybe you start, Oscar. Where did we start from? What was the story all about?
So we were like talking about evil spirits coming out of people, and then the unclean man, yeah, and then we made like this paper chain. And we writ like all the things that we've been carrying on to in life. And then we made a paper chain out of it.
What sort of things were on the chain? What did we write on the chain?
I don't remember.
We had a game at the beginning, because these are very lively boys. So we had a very heavy backpack, but they still managed to run really fast. But what was the idea? What was the heavy weight in the backpack the same as?
All the things we were carrying in our life, and things that we wouldn't let go for some reason.
And how can we let go of them?
Speaking to God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jesus.
What's the big T word? What do we have to do? We have to trust him.
So this represented the things that maybe we carry that we shouldn't, whether it's people's words or stuff that we actually allow ourselves to carry that we shouldn't. And then what did we do after that, kids?
We read like a book about like the story, and then we did watch like a clip of it, and then we made like the like, this is the world, like how, like.
So the bottle is the world.
Yeah.
And what does the bottle represent about the world? Is it good? Is
it's
bad?
Quite bad.
It's chaos, isn't it?
Then we read Jesus is our peace.
Yeah.
On
Amen.
It. Yeah.
So no matter how crazy the world might get, if we trust God, He is our peace, isn't He?
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank goodness. Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Darkness, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes.